Welcome to the Love Show, brought to you by eHarmony. We're going to spend the next 45 minutes or so answering your questions about dating, relationships, and love. I'm Grant Langston. I'm here with, as always, with my host, Jeannie Asimos. It is so easy to send your questions to us. Send us your questions. You can email them, questions@eHarmony.com. If you'd rather tweet us, @eHarmony is our Twitter handle. We also have an online magazine called eHarmony Advice, which is chocked full of articles, thousands of articles about dating and relationships and how to use eHarmony and how to get more from online dating. There is a link on the homepage of that site that says Ask the Experts. You can click that and you'll get a little box and you can put your question in. We get lots and lots of questions and we love it. So, Jeannie, how are you doing today?
I am very well.
How are you, Grant?
Do you have a frog in your throat?
I have always a frog in my throat. Always a frog.
That's just part of this, part of the love show.
It's probably just nerves.
Grant, Jeannie,
and
the frog.
I want to introduce our special guest today. It's Kim Seltzer. Kimberly Seltzer.
It's all good.
If
we're really good friends, you can even call me Kimmy.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Kim is a makeover expert, a confidence expert, a therapist, and a dating coach. She is awesome, and she does a very interesting thing, which I love, called Wingal, where she basically goes out with her clients and sits in the field, as they say, and teaches them how to meet people and use body language and first impressions to be more attractive and to be more successful. Of course, she also does styling, communication, and all the other things that are necessary to being successful in the dating search. She's the co-host of the traveling dating show, The Great Love Debate, which just rolls around the country all the time. She's the co-host of a podcast called Full Disclosure. And she's going to be in a new cable show, a cable reality show called The Romance. We're glad that you're here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So Kim is a person that works sort of right in the middle of the fight.
I'm in the battlefield.
So I thought it would be fun to spend the first few minutes of the show today talking with Kim about what she's doing. You know, you get people that come to you, and what do they say? What do people typically say when they come to you? What's the first thing they say?
I want to find love. I want to have confidence to find love. There are no good guys out there. There's no hot women out there. I mean, you name it. It runs the gamut. But, you know, it's interesting because people will come to me either, you know, to update their style, to maybe get more confidence in a social setting, or just to learn how to, like, get a plan in place so that they meet people of the opposite sex. But at the end of the day, I think the theme has to do with self-love, confidence. I mean, and I know it sounds kind of woo-woo, we all use that loosely, but but really, I mean, people love people who love themselves. And so when I dissect what's going on with people, and this is, you know, where my therapy background really comes in, is I find that there's patterns. And to help people break those patterns so that they can really, like, kind of get out of their own way.
Do people tend to have excuses? Like, you know, I work so much and don't have time.
Oh my God, all the time. I think that's probably one of the most common things is that people will blame outside themselves. Like, it's the town I live in. There's, you know, no good guys out there or good girls out there. Everybody's damaged. I mean, you name it. And it's usually not within. And what's funny is sometimes I'll challenge people. I say, well, okay, so those are all external things that we can't control, right? We can't control, unless you move, we can't really control your environment. But what can you do differently to get a different result? Because that's all you have control over.
Yeah.
And that's where the real work starts.
Right, right. What would you, I mean, this is probably a tough question because obviously people are all different, but what are some of the most common mistakes that you see people making? I mean, you sit down, you hear their story, and I'm sure now within 10 minutes you can say, boy, oh boy, they're doing this, they're doing this, they're doing this. And what are the most common mistakes they make?
How much time do we have? I'm just kidding. Look, we all have challenges.
Go for it.
Yeah. Well, It's funny that you asked that question, because I actually just created a little ebook for women on the five archetypes of common mistakes that women make when they're out and about. And so, I mean, I think each gender has their own challenges. A lot of it underneath are the same issues. It just gets manifested differently. But I would say, you know, like for women and men, a common theme is that they get in their head a lot. And so instead of just, you know, going up to somebody or coming from a stance of what they want, they worry about what other people are thinking and feeling, and they're hesitating, and they're like, oh, I can't approach that person. That person looks busy or too, and they get so much caught up in their head and insecure that it prevents them from creating opportunity.
So let me tell you why that is, Kim.
Yeah, tell me, Grant, what's going on here?
Because rejection hurts.
Yeah. I know, right? It does.
If you've ever, I think I told this story, Jeannie, stop me if I did, but okay. In like middle school, I was at this dance, and there was a woman across the way, across the National Guard Armory where our dances were, and I wanted to ask her to dance, and I basically sat there for 2 hours and stared at her.
Really?
And finally, I was like, okay, you got to do it, you got to do it. I psych myself up. I take that long walk across the cement floor of the armory, and I say, Karen, hey, how's it going? You want to dance? And she looked at me and said, no, and turned and walked off.
Did that scar you?
Oh, my God. And then you get to do that walk back across.
Terrible.
And it's so traumatic that people, anyone who's ever had that, the fear of getting burned again is so heavy that, yeah, you do get in your head. You're like, well, do I have a shot? I'm going to walk up to this stranger and go, hey, Jeannie, what's up? Or what's your name? That just feels so hard.
Okay, but this is a great story to kind of talk about. So how old were you in that story?
Well, it's middle school. 11,
okay.
12.
Okay, I rest my case. No, the reason why I asked that is that think of how you were, your sense of self at that point. And what I find is that the more you are solid within yourself and happy with who you are, the less of a hit the rejection becomes. And so what I tell people all the time is that, you know, instead of worrying about how other people think of you and molding and changing so that people will like you, it's more about what is it that you want and makes you happy. And if that person isn't interested, they're not your people.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the world's my playground. If you want to play in it, great. If not, see ya. There's a lot of other people. And so I'll tell you a quick story around that. It was really funny. The other day I was coaching. And to your point, like, now this was from a woman who was scared of rejection from a man. And believe it or not, women have a responsibility and approachability. And we can talk about that later. But we walked into a bar. And at the bar, there was this guy. And he was eating lunch. And he was watching the game. And I said to her, oh, look, you know, there's a guy. Let's go talk to him. She's like, Kim, he's eating and he's watching the game. We can't bother him. And beside him, there was two empty chairs on either side of him. And of course, there were empty chairs down, you know, like way away from him. But that, you know, then we couldn't talk to him. Right.
Right.
So positioning is really important, by the way. And we can also talk about that. But anyway, so I said to my client, I said, and your point is he's watching the game. He's eating lunch. And what? She's like, well, we can't bother him. I said, what is it that you want? She's like, well, I want to talk to men. I said, let's go. So I went up to the guy and I said, hi. And he literally almost like fell off the chair, but in a good way, because he was so pleasantly surprised that actually women are smiling and saying hi to him. I said, you know, my friend and I, we wanted to just sit here. Is that okay if we sit next to you? I said, the only thing is could you move down a little bit, unless you want us to straddle you? And then, you know, wink, wink, wink. And he laughed. He's like, well, maybe later. And so he moved down and we sat next to him, and it was his pleasure.
Yeah.
It really was. It was like he was so happy to have somebody to talk to, because actually he was bored. That's why he was watching the game. He had no one to talk to. And so, again, I think we get in our heads and we get in our own way often.
Wow, the confidence that takes. Have you ever had a moment of no confidence, Kim?
Never.
You sound like a person.
I know.
In middle school, you were uber confident. I was like a mouse of a person, and you were like, hey, everybody, listen to my ideas. So you just seem very confident, and that's something that's hard for people to get their hands around.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about confidence. See, I believe confidence comes well, I define it as experience. Because if you think about it, things that we're not confident in has to do with our experience in something. So was I always that confident girl when I was little? No, I didn't have experience. And truth be told, I didn't date till way later. So that was not a big confidence thing for me. And then fast forward, I get divorced. I'm out there in the battlefield on my own. And I had to learn how to do it all over again as an adult. So how did I get confidence? It was practice. It was experience. It was putting my big toe in the water until I could swim. And that's what I really teach people, is it's about getting, just, you know, taking baby steps towards that so that you are feeling confident.
Hmm. What age range people do you work with? And are there different problems and challenges for different age folks?
That's a great question. I'm really lucky. I work with men and women of all ages. I've worked with, you know, people in their young 20s all the way up to, I had a woman who was 78 the other day who I did a wing girl session
wow.
with. So for me, it doesn't matter. I think that the issues are the same when it comes to attraction. However, it gets, again, manifested differently in different age groups. So the differences that I see, this is actually a good discussion, because the millennials, which I would call, like, you know, people in their 20s, they have kind of lost the sense of social skills because of the technology.
Not surprising.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you guys finding this too? It's so even just the notion of making eye contact and saying hi is weird for them. Like, they'd much rather text somebody hi in the same room. And, you know,
wow.
So when I'm working with them, it's really helping them through some of just basic social skills 101. The other thing that I notice about them is that because of social media, this is almost, I see as an epidemic, that generation, especially women, are comparing themselves to others because Facebook and Instagram,
gosh.
They're
yeah.
constantly looking at who's prettier, oh, and then they're comparing themselves, and it really, again, they get in their own way because they're so in their head about that girl's prettier than
so
me.
So that hurts their self-confidence. They
completely.
Don't feel attractive.
Completely.
I think it breeds such, like, narcissism, too. I was on Instagram, and I recently got off because I almost felt myself getting sort of caught up in it.
Right.
You post a picture of yourself, and, like, how many people are liking it, and thinking, what am I doing?
Because,
like, honestly,
no,
it's
so true. It's so true. Because think about it. You're getting validation,
yeah.
outside validation. And
yeah.
if you're not able to validate yourself
right.
in a way of that,
yeah.
you seek it from that. And that's an instant way of getting
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
And so they're so caught up in that. And I actually tell people to go on a social media fast. Like, that's one of the
interventions. That's pretty much what I have done, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it really
yeah.
helps.
Yeah.
So that's what I see with the millennials a little bit. And then I see in, I'd say 35, that age group, the 30s, they're kind of on the cusp.
Mm.
And with the women, if they haven't been married before, there's this desperation. The biological clock is ticking. And
that's so attractive.
Right?
That's a tough one.
Isn't that hot for a guy?
Desperation
is
so hot.
It's a hard one to navigate. Because,
it's
you know,
tough.
You understand that. But
yeah, yeah.
You can't have that pressure in an early relationship either. You know?
No, you can't. And then the guys in that age group, they want the women who are younger than them because they're thinking about starting a family, not in the same age group. Yet maturity-wise, those women aren't there. So there's this kind of, like, disconnect, right?
Mm.
Then you move to, I'd say, you know, 40 all the way up, is that now it's like people are learning how to date again. So many of these people have been divorced, they've been married. And it's just a whole new world out there. They're like, what is this online stuff?
Mm-hmm.
What's this dating stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They try, you know, great things like eHarmony, but then they don't know how to navigate it. So they don't have the skills or the dating skills.
And the rules they learned when they were 18 from mama about mm-hmm. what you do with boys don't apply in an online world. I mean, we talk about that a lot. Jeannie and I do, about how women say, well, I don't talk to boys. I don't ask
totally.
Men out.
Totally.
And that is the most sabotaging philosophy. So they end up sitting around and nothing happens. And they're like, wow, you know, this is a scam. Nothing's happening. Well, that's because you're not doing anything. You're just waiting like the princess for the men mm-hmm. to beat your door down. It doesn't work that way here.
It's so true. And that has to do with the approachability factor. And it's like, you know, these women are not understanding why the men aren't alpha enough to come up to them or ask them out, yet they're not putting themselves out there with their body language, in their whole sense of self. And it's much easier to sit behind a computer and do this online dating, but they're not doing anything with it. They're just, you know, like kind of passively. It's more like passive and reactive dating rather than proactive dating. And that's a big difference.
You know, this is one of my pet peeves. Female approachability. You know, we used to have some employees here at eHarmony, and they would go out. These were women. And they would go out, and they would love to be in a relationship. And they sit at the bar, and they talk to each other.
Oh, my God.
And they
worst.
Have a puss on their face. And if a
resting.
Guy, if a guy, yes.
Yes.
If a guy tries to make eye contact, they won't make eye contact. I had a woman once ask me where the restroom was, and she never made eye contact with me. She was like, can you tell me where the restroom is?
Right.
And I'm trying to look in her face, and she feels that that's giving me some signal.
Right.
Right? I don't want to give him eye contact because he's going to think I'm interested, and then I'm going to have to fend him off. It's like women are so shell-shocked, especially in a city maybe, by guys hitting on them, that they make this policy of, I'm just going to put a shield up. So this is one of my pet peeves. That this is one of the reasons it's nice to go to smaller towns sometimes, just to visit or to get out in the country, because people don't have that. They're a lot more open and like, oh, hi.
Totally.
How are you? So how do you teach women, first of all, that they're doing this? I'm sure some of it's unconscious.
It is.
And how do you get them to break that habit and to start to sort of open up?
Yeah, no, this is probably the biggest thing that I work on with women, is teaching them that they do have a responsibility in men, you know, approaching them. So the first thing is looking at the excuses that they have around it.
Yeah.
Meaning, what are your fears around, like, let's just talk about flirting and putting out an open energy. Well, I don't want to give the guy the wrong signal, or I hear that guy isn't cute, he's not my type, or I don't know how to. I don't know how to flirt, and I fear it. Or it's been a while since I've dated, so I don't even know what to do, and I'm going to hide in my eyes. And so first finding out what the fears are, and then from there, it's kind of like I'm all about show me, don't tell me. After we have a discussion, I'm like, let's go. And we go into the field, and I'm seeing what's happening. And a lot of times, it's like what you said, Grant, like, women don't have even an awareness that they're doing it or not doing it. It's a body language thing. So just teaching them to slow down and make eye contact. I have women just like looking around the room. I'm like, do you notice those men over there that are looking at you? And can you make eye contact back and say hello? And like, first they freak out, and then they get used to it.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That is a moment, isn't it?
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be this like Marilyn Monroe, like, hello, you know, this like, literally, it's just an acknowledgement. Yeah. Like, connecting.
But listen, that's so rare.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm married, but if I were single, it would be very normal for me to check women out. Mm-hmm. And if one of them made eye contact with me, they wouldn't have to do much.
Exactly.
Because that is instant.
Yeah.
That's a signal that instant. Says, hey, I'm be interested to talk to you.
It's a smoke signal. That's why I tell like women all the time, I'm like, men are looking for anything.
Exactly.
Anything. Like, throw them a bone.
We get nothing.
We get nothing. Turn your cab light on. Like, it takes so little. Like, and I say to women too, what you think is over the top is normal for them.
Yeah.
Like, what you think is like, oh, I'm being so flirtatious, they don't even get it half the time. Like, you really have to like hold the gaze a little bit or look again. You know, it's like these things that we don't do. I say another, again, I'm going to blame technology for this. Another thing that I'm finding is that we have our phones as a crutch. So everybody's in their phone. They'd much rather be like behind a shield and a phone than just kind of looking around and taking in the environment.
I'm totally guilty of that.
I'm
guilty of a lot. I'm laughing because I'm guilty. You know.
And I see you like slowly.
Jeannie's got the
like
shield up.
I'm like, oh.
Don't come talk to me. Don't come talk to me.
No, I think for me, it's hard for me to say no. I feel uncomfortable rejecting someone.
Okay, so what about that's hard though?
Because I'm a people pleaser. So that's sort of my, it's hard for me to reject someone and make them feel bad because it makes me feel crappy. So.
Right. And actually what Jeannie just said is a really common thing that I work with. A lot of women who I work with are like what I call over caretakers.
Yes.
And so much so that they put other people's needs and feelings before theirs.
100%.
But, you know, and so if I were to work with you, I would probably start there, like what that's all about. And a lot of it has to do with your upbringing and your ascribed roles. Mm-hmm. And but what's so cool about it is once you make that connection, helping and giving you like tangible tools so that you can break through some of that and get out of that, you know, cycle that you're in.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, I've never met a guy who went to the mental hospital because a woman said no.
Right.
I mean, you can't worry about, like, this is just normal life, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
this the dating game and, you know, so it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. No, definitely. It's funny, though. Yesterday, I was at Macy's. Let me just tell us.
Okay. So, Kim, I'm going to talk about my favorite topic. I'm just going to stop the proceedings for one moment and talk about my favorite topic, which is Jeannie's bra. We've been spending the last few weeks talking about Jeannie's bra. Jeannie,
yes,
tell us about your bra.
Are you tired of talking about my bra at this point?
God, I'm so fascinated.
I'm never tired of it.
Okay, the
third love, baby.
There is a reason we're talking about bras, and the reason is that Third Love, amazing company, sent me a bra to try out. It's their 24/7. T-shirt bra, and it has memory foam in it. It is the most comfortable.
We'll get you one, Kim.
Oh, yeah, I want one.
The most comfortable bra I've ever worn. And I was skeptical, and like I sent them my size and everything. And you know, sometimes the sizes are different. With
totally.
All the, yeah, this fit me perfectly. No
I touched
issues.
It. Not on Jeannie, I mean, but I touched it. And it's very soft.
I'm not going to touch that either.
Yeah, but I said it's really soft. And now I know why it's their bestseller. So yeah. I am a huge fan. I'm actually wearing it right now.
And, do they come in different colors?
I got check on their website. I got the nude color just because it's good for every day.
The fit's guaranteed. You can return it for free if you don't. Mm. If it doesn't fit, they'll send you another one. So
it's easy. It's one of the most comfortable bras I've ever worn. So I'm a fan. And what you can do is try this best-selling t-shirt bra for free for 30 days. Go to their website, thirdlove.com, and then we have a unique URL /loveshow. So go through that angle, and then you can try the bra for free. So it's great.
Perfect.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm a huge fan.
Can I just add something?
Yeah.
Because that, being a stylist as well, is really good because I can't tell you how many times that I will get these fabulous clothes for people and then I see the lingerie underneath is horrible.
Oh, I know.
It makes a huge difference in the way clothes fit, too. So having a bra that fits you well is really important.
So Third Love, that's where you need to go. That's where you need to get your bra. Tell them that Grant sent you.
Grant is so excited. He loves talking about that.
I do. You know, when a sponsor comes in that I can just have a running joke with, it gets me very happy. So, Kim, we're going to take advantage of having you here. As you know, we get a lot of questions from people out in the world. And so Jeannie has rounded up some of these. And, boy, they're hot off the presses.
They are.
And we're going to try and help these people.
Great.
So, the first one's actually, it was at 12:13 a.m. today.
Just came in. So let's do it. Let's see what we can do here.
Okie dokie. Here we go. I'm currently in a relationship with a wonderful man. We are both divorced and have similar backstories. He treats me with tenderness, love, and respect. We connect spiritually and emotionally. We have fun together and have amazing chemistry. We seem to match up perfectly on most things. There are, of course, a few things in which we are quite different or his traits are not in line with my ideal spouse. Most of these things are things I believe I can live with long term. I would rate our relationship as good, maybe 8 out of 10. We have discussed possibility of marriage in our future, though we don't feel ready quite yet. What I'm struggling with is that I met this man very soon after my divorce, and he is the only person I've gone out with since my 22-year marriage. I wanted to start going on dates, dip my toes in the water, so to speak, but didn't anticipate hitting it off so well right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I've been active in a couple online support groups for singles, divorcees. I haven't really met anyone else in these areas that interests me. I can't shake this recurring feeling that I found him too easily, and I'm settling for the first guy that came along. and there could very well be someone better for me out there. He's never given me any reasons to want to break up. I find myself constantly looking for red flags that just don't seem to be there. I don't want to walk away from a good thing. I also don't ever want to look back and think maybe I should have shopped around a little more. Sometimes I think in my 40s the choices are more limited, or should I just keep a hold of this good thing? So she is not sure what to do.
Very interesting dilemma.
It is.
That's a really good scenario too for other people. I think I get the scenario actually quite a bit,
but in
different ways. And you know, it's hard when someone's not here because I have so many questions.
Right?
Yes. And there's no easy black and white answer. But some of the things that jump out at me are, one is I would want to ask her, what has her dating experience been prior to her marriage? And if she's like a relationship person, and has she had any experience with the dating? Because I find that relationship oriented people do get kind of locked down in and then sometimes lose their sense of self and really knowing what it is they want. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is getting clarity on what it is that she wants. Like, there's a lot of outside pressure, especially after divorce, to find the one again, get married, you know, have a corrective experience, move on with someone. But is that what she really wants? I think that's part of what she's struggling with, is what's okay to do. Like, she's happy. And if she's just happy dating him and where she's at, like, that's awesome. Like, why put pressure on herself to do anything else, see where it goes? But then, you know, she just has this underlying need of dating. But I want to find out more about that, you know, before I would make, like...
See, if it... excuse me. If everything she says is true in the first paragraph of this letter, right? I mean, this is an amazing list of things. He treats me with tenderness, love, and respect. We connect spiritually and emotionally. We have fun together and amazing chemistry. We match up perfectly in most things. That sounds like a pretty rare circumstance. If I took 1,000 married people and I said, do you think that this is true for you? The majority of them are not going to be as enthusiastic about their relationships as this woman is about hers. So... my tendency is, if this is really true, she's not going to find this on every street corner. There's just not going to be dozens of men out there who do these things for her. I would ask her to think long and hard about whether she really wants to throw this one back. Now, if she's bored, if this is all sort of exaggeration, if... we could ask her these questions and we got right into it and she was like, well, I don't know, it's kind of boring sometimes and he doesn't feel like my intellectual equal. And I mean, if she really has a lot of underlying concerns that she's not sharing, then to me that says you probably should be dating some other men.
Right. And the other thing that I wonder about is that this is her first relationship right out of the gate, you know, and I don't know if that's the truth for him. Did it say? I don't know if this is the first for him.
They both divorced and have similar backstories.
But we don't know about him and his dating experience. Because that's also, like, they may be different there. And transitional romances can be tough. You know what it reminds me of is, well, you can relate to this as a girl. Like, if you have an occasion and you see a dress right away, and you're like, I need to shop around just to make sure that this is the dress that really fits me and suits me. And sometimes... it validates and confirms that dress if you do shop around. And so there's a little bit of that going on, too.
Yeah.
But without her being here, obviously we don't know. Yeah. I think overall, just getting clarity on what it is she really wants and what is going on underneath all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Jeannie?
I think the grass isn't always greener. And I think so. I think we kind of live in this society where it's like, what's better? What's better? And, you know, I feel like that. So I feel like if she has a great thing... be happy with a great thing, you know? I mean, if
why can't you be happy with a great thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel. I'm not, you know, I'm not one to, I mean, I've always, I am the relationship girl. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not. But I just feel like, yeah, this is a great guy and she's in love and happy. Just be in love and happy. I mean, that's how I feel. Because I just feel like we're way too, we have too many choices these days. And it's not necessarily
too many choices. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I have, of course, as always, a personal story about this, because, you know, I dated a long time and I was in a relationship with a person for a couple years. And when that started to wind down, I said, you know what? I'm going to take a couple years off. I'm just going to play the field for a couple of years and have fun. And then I met somebody 2 months later. And I said to myself, okay, I don't know if this is going to be it, but this person is so much higher quality than what I'm seeing in my years of dating. I got to put my plan on hold because this sort of person doesn't come around all the time. This is a very unique situation. And, you know, your plans are one thing.
Yeah.
But you can't hold to your plans when circumstances or opportunity come to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to say, my plan isn't more important than what is sitting in front of me. And so I said, I'm going to have a relationship with this person. And I ended up marrying
him. I knew it.
I'm like, and the end is. Yeah, but you know what's interesting about your story and that you're highlighting too is that you had a lot of experience dating. Yeah, so when found her, you were more solid with your decision because you knew yourself in the process of what worked, what didn't. And I think that's what's missing for this woman. I'm just guessing.
It is what's missing.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm trying to give her the benefit of my knowledge, mm-hmm. which is, if you had spent the last 10 years dating around, and this guy is all that in a bag of chips.
It'd be different.
You would know that he's worth keeping. He's probably still worth keeping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're terribly bored. You know, a lot of men who get into this situation are sexually pretty bored.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, whenever a guy's divorced and he's dying to find the one, I'm like, buddy, you got married when you were 23.
Right.
You got to play the field.
So important.
You're going to hate yourself if you just wind up with another woman locked down in a relationship. Have fun. Take it easy and have some fun.
But for women, too. It's the same thing. I mean, I think we're saying the same things. Like it's interesting.
Well, then, I guess in the end, we're saying to you, ma'am, you've got to dig deep and see what you really think your needs
are. What is the real deal here?
If he's satisfying all of your needs, your idle curiosity may not be worth burning this relationship down. But if you're finding that there are some serious needs that are not being met, then you need to date around.
I have an exercise for you if you're listening and for all you listeners out there, because I think when we get into situations like this, it's hard because we get emotional about it and all of that. I do something with my clients called the cost-benefit analysis. We all know that in the financial world. And it's different than a pro and con list, because sometimes what we think benefits us actually costs us a great deal. So I encourage her, anybody in a situation like this, to really list out what is serving you about this relationship. What are you really benefiting from? And then compare it to what it's costing you. And if the costs outweigh the benefits, you got to assess that. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a lot of costs. I mean, there could be three costs, but they're pretty heavy. And so maybe that would help her too.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
That's great. I love that.
All right. Very good. Let's do another.
All right, here we go. And this person says, I need advice quickly. So we got to
make quick advice. Yeah, like how long do we have?
We're doing it right now. Okay. Hi, this is hard to ask. I was divorced after 33 years of marriage. By the way, I'm 59. I'm dating a 55-year-old woman. So this is a guy, Grant, writing it.
Okay.
All right. I've been seeing this woman for about 9 weeks now. About 3 weeks into dating, she told me she wanted to keep her options open, but we continued to see each other. Over the last 2 weeks, she's taken me to a party at her boss's house, went out to eat with one of her best girlfriends and her husband, and had me over for Mother's Day to meet her mother. I guess those are all good signs of a relationship getting stronger, but the comment about her wanting to keep her options open still stick in the back of my head and keep me wondering where I stand. Should I just ask her or leave well enough alone and keep dating her as if she's interested in developing a deeper relationship with me? One other question. Over the years, I guess I forgot signals and how to read body language. About 4 weeks into our dating, we were watching a movie at her place, and I think she was sending a signal like she wanted to have sex, you know, rubbing my leg with hers. I guess I blew it, because since then that hasn't happened. Did I blow it, or am I just reading too much into it? About 2 weeks later, I made an advance and she said, please don't. So I stopped. We continued the night as if it didn't happen, and we continued to see each other about 3 times a week, talk almost every day on the phone. We continue to date, and we kiss, hug, hold hands, but the passion seems to be dwindling. I'm interested in getting closer physically with her, but how do I go about it? That is, finding out if she's interested. This has been on my mind. I don't want her to think I'm not interested. I guess my question is, how do I ask her she's still interested in sex? I need some advice quickly. Sign, totally confused.
Totally confused. I'm going to go first because my advice is short.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Grant, time to go for it. Grant tends to be like that.
Time to move on, brother. Time to move on. 9 weeks
really?
Holding hands and please don't and I'm not so sure and I want to keep my options open. What a terrible way to word that, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I assume that you live in a place where you have other women and it's time to go and investigate them. That's my two cents here.
And you're nine, sticking to it.
I'm like, 9 weeks?
That's hard for you as a man to think about, huh?
She's got him, what's the saying? She's got him grazing on a cement pasture.
Oh my.
Maybe.
Well, there's the man's
side. Maybe grazing is good. Sometimes just, you know, having appetizers before the meal is not that
getting,
bad.
But he's getting nothing,
yeah.
Really.
Okay, so the big thing that's missing for me in this whole scenario, I mean, there's a lot of, like, actually questions within mm-hmm. the question, but there seems to be a lack of communication overall. Like, he's doing a lot of guesswork. He's wondering. It's been 9 weeks.
This is a common theme, Kim, with all of our letters.
Always say
really?
That. Just talk about it. Yeah.
You know what they used to say about Three's Company? Remember that show, Three's Company?
Yeah. I love
it's
that.
It's like the whole episode could be resolved with one conversation between two of the people.
Oh, yeah.
Because
totally,
every episode is just about a misunderstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they talked for 15 seconds, the show would be over.
Exactly.
So we have that problem with a lot of these letters.
Yeah. So, like, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Like, what if they did have this kind of healthy discussion about where they are at, how they feel about one another, it could change the game. Like, I've seen it time and time again where chemistry gets created because of an emotional connection that gets off of a line of communication. Mm-hmm. Like, women are very emotive, as we know, and that we tend to chemistry gets created, sexual chemistry, mm-hmm. when we feel close to a guy and there's like this emotional connection. Chemistry, I believe, is actually comprised of four components. You have emotional chemistry, mm-hmm. you have physical, you have intellectual, and then you have spiritual. And how that gets defined for each person is different, but if you got to look at this and put a percentage to each of those domains and, like, what's going on here? Like, if the emotional connection here is, like, 1% because they're not communicating, what would happen if they did? Would that go up? And then would there be some sexual chemistry? She might be saying to herself, what's wrong with me? Why isn't he making advances?
But he made those advances and she said no.
But he didn't know how to read her body language, so he backed off. So now she's thinking, okay, wait, now
she was rubbing his leg.
Maybe she feels like he rejected her.
Yeah.
So she's
exactly.
Like, oh, I can't, you know.
Exactly. Because he didn't advance. Because he did it in advance.
Right.
When she made gestures and he's like, I don't know how to read body language.
So she never does that again?
Yeah, but because she's like gunshot.
Didn't you just say in the beginning of the show, rejection is real?
But wait a minute.
Thank you.
He then made an advance to her on a different
later.
Day. And she pulled away.
Because
if
now they're in this
it,
weird place.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to
and
me.
And she could be.
She reached out and he didn't respond. Mm-hmm. Now, when he reaches out, Are they 4-year-olds or is it tit for tat? She should respond. I mean,
but again, if there's been no communication in between these times, now it's this weird disconnect that's happening. They're both kind of like hesitating.
And if there's been, like, both of these, I'm assuming both these people were in long relationships. I mean, he was in a 33-year marriage. Like,
that's right.
It is like you don't really know and you're like insecure. Right. And so that's part of this too. You know?
Yeah. I wrote an article recently about how it's like being a teenager all over again when you get a divorce. You really go through like a time of adolescence. And a lot of this behavior mm-hmm. is like an adolescent thing if you think about it.
Yeah,
like not communicating, wondering if he likes me or she likes me. Do I go to first base with her? You know, like it's all that stuff because, you know, you're not. You also sexually confident when you get out of a marriage. So
I don't.
We don't know how experienced both of these people are.
You're definitely right. We don't know that. I guess I think that one of the most unattractive things in a person is a sort of sexual adolescent attitude. And, you know, the moment that I sense that in somebody, and I think most men feel this way, the minute they sense that, they go, you know what? I need a grown woman. Thanks. And they move on. I don't want someone who is uncomfortable with their body or themselves, who's fragile, who's got weird hang-ups. Yes, he can spend, first of all, I totally agree they should have a conversation.
Right.
And maybe that clears it up. But most men are not looking for a psychology experiment with a woman. They want to have a relationship. And I don't want to be with you if part of being with you is now I have the load of educating you about sexual confidence. It's just too much work. And I'm not qualified to do that work.
Okay, you just said actually the perfect thing from what this woman might be feeling about him. Because as a woman, we don't want a man who is not comfortable in his body, who can't make sexual advances and is constantly guessing, should I move? Mm-hmm. We want an alpha man that takes the bull by the horn. And so she's probably feeling the same thing on the other end. So that's my whole point about this lack of communication. Mm-hmm. They're in this weird place.
So he should just go for it again?
Absolutely, without hesitation.
And if she says, no, don't.
Then
please
they need to
don't.
Have a conversation about it. And then maybe, then to your point, it's time to move on after they have the conversation.
Yeah. All right. I think that makes sense. So, Jeannie, let's talk about Bedface. Bedface is online bedding that they sent to my house. And I opened the box, and it said inside the box, the best damn sheets on the internet. And so, what is it? It's cotton bedding, high-quality cotton bedding. A lot of different colors. I think you got, what color did you get?
I got like these cool salmon and peach colored sheets.
I got gray and blue
because
I'm the boy.
You're the boy. So cool.
And it's great cotton. And what makes it so good? What do you think?
I'm the, you know, being the cotton expert that I am. Well, it's 100% long staple cotton designed for comfort, breathability. They told me that. I'm not really an expert. But we love it. We love all the color options. They say there's actually 28 million possible combinations.
So you I'm going like, to check that math,
actually.
Is that
amazing?
It's you know, when you talk about pillows and fitted sheets and sheets, you've got 24 colors, and I guess you do the math, and it comes out to be 28 million. Point is, whatever colors you have, you can make these work in the way that is
absolutely
most attractive.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're also affordable. They also back all their products with a no questions asked 100-night guarantee.
That seems crazy to me.
I know. That's
so I can
cool.
sleep on these for 3 months.
Yeah.
Send them back, and I guess they ship them to someone else. No,
Grant. But look,
I think they give them away if they don't work. But you do have sort of a no risk situation here. You can get the sheets.
Yep.
Try them out for 3 months. If you don't like them, you send them on back.
Any color you want, they pretty much have. So if you've got this like dream room envisioned in your mind, you can find them there. So go to bedface.com, use the promo code LOVESHOW, and you're going to get 20% off already great prices.
Yeah, so I think one of the best parts about the internet and this product is, of course, you're not paying for the lights in the store, and you're not paying for the real estate and, you know, all the things you pay for when you go to big retail box stores. It's cheaper, and it makes a lot of sense. So bedface.com, get your 20% discount, and tell them that Jeannie and Grant sent you. Jeannie, we've got time for one more question.
Thank God.
Thank God.
All right, let's just dive right in. So I have a relatively new job. The first thing I noticed about my supervisor, and he's amazingly cute.
Mm.
He's short, baby-faced guy who loves to whistle everywhere he goes. He's a little awkward, though, and isn't keen on keeping eye contact. What are we talking about today? Or at least he isn't with me. I haven't paid attention to how he looks at others. It's really hard to look at his face without wanting to swoon.
Aww.
Cute.
But here's the problem. I kind of get the feeling he's a tad more awkward around me. This could just be me hoping he's shyer towards me, but if I meet his gaze, he'll immediately look away. When I have my hands in my pockets, so does he. Sometimes he'll just walk up to me while I'm doing a task, just give really basic advice on what I'm doing. It doesn't seem like he thinks I don't know what I'm doing. It's more like he wants an excuse to talk to me, maybe. Can someone help me with this? I can give more details if you need. But so it's this woman's thinking that this guy's kind of into her, but she's not sure.
Well, it sounds like he is.
I love this. This is like exactly
this is like so
what I do. I know.
I
wish like if she's listening, I wish she was here because I would love to like see what's going on. Well, this is the perfect example of flirting.
Yeah.
You know, if we talk about, if you look at the definition of flirting, it's really interesting. Have you ever looked up
the
So it's to behave as though you are attracted to somebody without the serious intention of an outcome. Wow. That's kind of cool because I think the reason why we get a lot of women like closed down and we get scared, we're fearful of like sending the wrong signal, kind of what we were talking about before, the outcome, being too highly sexualized or what it is. But if you think of it more as being in a playful state and having fun, almost like a child, you know, and that's what I teach people. I teach people to flirt with life. Mm-hmm. Don't get so target specific. Have this like radiant magnetic energy that just draws people to you, and then you get to choose who you want in your, you know, field, so to speak. So like with this guy, I would just have her like practice flirting and really give, because remember we said before, guys don't get it. And if he's socially awkward, he's probably nervous around her if he is truly attracted to her. So I like, she should give him something a little more, you know, to indicate that, yeah, I'm interested, and teaching her about all the nonverbal stuff she could do. She should dress really cute, maybe smell nice, and just like be fun and playful and see what happens out of it. I mean, she can't change his awkwardness, but she can make him feel more comfortable.
The fact that he's her supervisor, though, is a interesting twist on
That's true, right? And we don't know all the ins and outs of that, right?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the company you work
I know for. This, that's a no-no.
And maybe that's why he's nervous, too.
It's a no-no no matter where you are. I mean, if you want to date someone in the company, that's often okay, as long as they don't work for you.
Right.
But the fact that he works for her makes their relationship pretty inappropriate. Mm-hmm. In fact, lawsuit inappropriate, right? Because it just gets crazy fast.
Yeah.
And every corporation that I know prohibits that kind of relationship. So he's got a lot of reasons to be nervous.
Totally.
Now, there's other jobs. There's other jobs.
But also, I mean, I think, didn't we have a situation even at eHarmony where there was a relationship,
and they kind of terrible,
but they changed. I don't know if you're thinking the same one I am, but they changed, so she didn't report to him.
Sure,
remember that? So you can do that. I mean,
but as long as it's this kind of scenario,
we
supervisor,
don't
know, direct report.
Right. It's not.
He has a power over her, right?
Yeah,
and she, of course, at this point is charmed by him.
Yeah.
But it just is a bad idea. So, if she could work for someone else.
Yeah. I know, it's too bad. Could they do it outside of, I mean, can there be some line that's drawn, or is it gets too murky?
Well, it's a big risk. Mm. You know, the risk is his risk. It's not any risk to her. If anything happens, he's going to be in trouble. That said, I don't want to poo-poo love. That's an important part of this letter.
HR rules. Come on.
Love we're talking.
HR rules are made to be broken, Grant.
Well, they can break them. This just seems as plain as the nose on my face. I mean, he's cute.
Yeah.
He's interested in her, and he's awkward. And I don't know that there's much to say other than that.
She should,
if she wants to do it, she should probably look at a different work situation, and she should go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right. It's love. It's good.
Mm-hmm. It's something.
It's something.
It's love. It's something.
I mean, what she says, I get the feeling that she says, here's the problem. I get the feeling that he's a tad more awkward around me.
Well, yeah.
Of course, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
He's nervous because he's,
he
you know,
her.
You can get in an elevator with someone that you have no interest in.
Right.
And chat them up and down. You know, they're an 82-year-old person, and you're just like, how's it going today? Now let an attractive person who you have an instant attraction to get in the elevator, and all of a sudden you're like, right?
It's so true. A lot of people tell me that too. That it's like, how come I don't have confidence with people I'm attracted to versus ones that I'm not?
Something's
right?
at stake.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's our show. We want to thank our special guest, Kim Seltzer, for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was super fun.
So great
fun.
Having
we'll
you
have
here.
To have you do this again.
Absolutely.
Remember, you can email us your questions at eHarmony. Just like always, you can tweet us at eHarmony. You can reach us on eHarmony Advice with the Ask the Experts button. For Genia Simos, I'm Grant Langston. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Can I say my website?
Say your website.
Oh, I just like, can I say it? Just
say it, Kim.
Okay, because I just want to make sure if anybody wants to reach me, you can reach me at seltzerstyle.com.
Spell that.
It's S-E-L-T-Z-E-R, like Alka-Seltzer, style.com. You can also find me on social media, Kimberly Seltzer, or on Twitter, @SeltzerKimberly.
Look at that. It's all there for you. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next time.